All right, we are joined by April Lanotte. Or is that right?
You're right, Lanotte.
Wow, that's a first.
That is a first.
And Megan Person, who is being...
No, that's Miss Megan Invisible.
I was going to say she's filling the role of Captain Anonymous.
Yes, from NASA. NASA.
I like NASA.
Everybody likes NASA.
We've had a bunch of people with great stuff come from NASA.
And here's another one.
Yes.
And we're here to talk about STEM integration. Not the leaves, just the stems, right?
Yes, the stems.
Very good, very good. I noticed yesterday, I finally got over to the NASA building. You can't move in there. I've never seen so much interest in NASA in my life. The place was like just marching through. You couldn't walk or anything.
It's exciting. It's really exciting.
It is exciting. You guys are doing some cool stuff.
Thanks. Well, we're excited to be there. We have an improved STEM zone that we call it. And it's an area where we have lots of activities, hands-on activities, some things for people to take away aimed at kids, you know, kids of all ages. We've had a lot of adults having a lot of fun doing some of the activities that we're doing. And it's great to tie what we have to missions that are going on at NASA and then also to tie it to what all's happening here in Wisconsin and everywhere else with aviation.
All right. For the uneducated, such as myself, what is STEM?
That's an awesome question. So STEM, the acronym stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. And so really it incorporates pretty much everything that we do. If you think about, you know, everything you do in your life, it incorporates one of those four elements. And so it's a focus on all of those types of activities.
They said that when Kennedy announced the original moon, we can do the moon in 10-year thing, that was the first giant push of STEM in this country in the education system.
Absolutely.
And it's good to see it back.
It is. And it's great to see everybody so excited about it. And it's become such a kind of a typical part of schools that it's just everywhere.
Do you see kids getting really excited? Because, I mean, most of us didn't like math all that much, and a lot of us weren't good at science.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is it's not all math. You know, you think about STEM and you think, you know, and I know when I was growing up, I grew up in a tiny little town in Pennsylvania. I'm actually from Mars, Pennsylvania, so I'm from Mars.
Okay. And you're going back.
And I'm going back. But, you know, I thought, oh, I'm not the best math student. I was okay. You know, you plot along, do what you need to do.
2 + 2 = 5, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, after a while you realize not everything involved with technology and with STEM is actually directly tied with math. And it took me a long time to get to that point, but we need so many people who are good at so many different elements of science, so many different... Sometimes it's someone who's conceptual and can visualize what we need to do. You know, and then you hand it off to someone else who's going to crunch a bunch of numbers because that's what they're good at. And then you have someone else who's good at actually building it and putting it all together. Those are all very different people. And you don't have to be that, you know, everybody says, well, make sure you're good at math. And yeah, there are people that have to be good at math, but not everybody involved with STEM needs to be a giant math person. So,
okay.
You know, one of the things that made math easier has been the elimination of the slide rule.
Well, I thought you were going to say the elimination of the decimal point, but anyway.
What a pain those things are.
Oh, hey, you know, there's actual slide rule museums out there, and I still have two of them.
Well, I can't tell you how underwhelmed I am
at
that. Yes,
I hope you have nightmares about being chased by the crosshair.
Listen, all I know is that thing is the equivalent of a medieval torture device.
So you guys have tailoring programs that can be used by schools?
We do. We have lots of different programs. We have everything from a program called Aeronautics at Home, where you can just download and do activities right at home.
Okay, I had a different impression. I thought about throwing airplanes in the living room.
You can do that, too. That'll work.
That goes over big with mom and dad.
I was going to say, some of the stuff that we did as kids were rocket-related.
Yes.
Most of them ended up blowing up, though.
But... Exactly.
No, so... I thought it was a great achievement when I could buy one of them cheap little rubber band planes and actually get it to take off.
Exactly. So, yeah, so we have at-home activities. We have... lessons and activities for teachers. We have activities for science centers, museums, a little bit of everything. And so a lot of what we have is usable by just about everybody, depending on what you need. We've got a little bit of it all.
Is there a way a school can contact you to find out about these programs, to ask for them?
So the best way to do that is to go onto our NASA website. And if you go to our aeronautics website, you can find contact information, and there are links there that you can, and it usually all winds up getting to me at some point. So
it finds its way to Mars.
It does. It finds its way, for sure. But we have it all over. We are in the middle of transitioning our website. We'll have a new and improved website. It's already a great one, but it'll be even more user-friendly once we get this next version out there. And there's it's really obvious STEM education. You know, if you're a kid, click here. If you're a teacher, click here. If you're, you know, a college student, click here.
Right. So, everybody else, click here. If you want to hear a duck quack, click here.
Click here. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that sounds good. And I don't know if NASA has always done the outreach, but I'm really happy to see that they're really getting involved in that now. They need the next generation of engineers.
We've always done some, but we're really working hard to align what we do even more with our current programs and missions. So, for example, we have a model of the Ingenuity, the Mars Ingenuity helicopter, that's there today in the NASA tent, and it'll be there the rest of the week. And then we have an activity. We have a hands-on activity that students can do that teaches them about Ingenuity. So,
yeah, that's where they make the little paper helicopters, and you had that tube with the fan.
That is another activity. This one today involves marshmallows, so they can make a little marshmallow helicopter. So
okay, that's something I would not have thought of.
Wow, here's the opportunity.
Marshmallows
to
can
cook
fly.
Yeah,
marshmallows in space.
Well, we actually have our Peeps in Space demo.
Oh boy!
And so we have marshmallow Peeps that we put in a vacuum chamber.
All right.
So we simulate high altitude flight and what happens if you don't wear a pressure suit and whenever you go,
the Peeps get
they get smashed for sure.
Well,
I was going to say you turn yellow and make a mess.
I don't know. They come out somehow different.
So you've got to stop by and I'll show you how it works.
All right.
Why is it whenever there's any kind of serious science demonstration, it involves Peeps?
It involves Peeps, yep. Because they're universal.
Because right. You shouldn't eat Peeps. You should just find creative ways to destroy Peeps.
Wow. So now we know what they do in their free time at NASA.
I can hear the phone calls going to the EAA legal department
right now. I was just thinking the same with NASA. I'm like, and now we're going to hear from the Peep company.
Is it true that the first Artemis launch will be Peeps?
I am not saying a word at this point.
I swear, we better see some astronaut on the news with Peeps floating around in the capsule with them.
Hey, they did it with M&Ms. Why not Peeps?
Peeps deserve their moment.
Think of this. Peeps and a ping pong paddle in space.
Oh, my gosh.
We've just come up with a new advertising program for Peeps. Peeps, we've been behind space exploration for years. So do you have programs catered at all grade levels?
We do. So we have, you know, like we have hands-on activities with marshmallows, obviously geared towards the younger crowd. We have a 3D printer here where we have downloadable files that kids can build. Our X-59, they can download and print it. So we have information about internships for high school students, college students. So
that's
everything
fantastic.
In between.
Now, your internships, what facilities are they at?
Everywhere.
Got them all over the place.
They're all over.
Like in the Cape and everything?
Yep, everywhere.
Wow.
And the beauty of our internships is since COVID, we went hybrid. We were virtual, and now we realized we can actually reach a lot more people. You know, not everybody has access to a NASA center near them, so now people can participate in internships even remotely.
I want to be the intern that lights the fuse on the rocket.
Yeah, there you go. Run! They got to pick a fast one for that job. Like the ball girl at a tennis match.
Yep, absolutely.
I would love to go down to the Cape. Could you take old interns? Like retreads?
We do have interns of all ages.
Really?
For people who are in college, people who are in post-secondary programs, doesn't matter what age you are, you
people
can apply to be an intern.
People that just wander in off the street, that would be me.
You kind of have to apply.
Oh, darn. Can I be a peep wrangler? I think I can handle that. All right.
And once again, the website is what? NASA.
So www.nasa.gov, and you'll find everything you need there.
Including all right. Peeps.
Including peeps. Peeps. Including peeps.
Oh, my goodness. All right. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.